So, one of the complaints that I hear about the way I celebrate Mass is that it is too long. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was a very subtle admitting that, so great. I'm happy. They say I'm slow with my prayers, very slow with my prayers, and I preach too long. Now, there are those who come and tell me, Father, don't change anything. We want a meaningful Mass. We want to do it right. So great. And then there are others who shop for that 40-minute Mass, right? And no matter how hard I try, I cannot serve a 40-minute Mass or what I call a fast Mass like you serve fast food. I can't do that. Because some people would love for salvation to be a 40-minute affair. But if salvation was like fast food, then it would taste like fast food. Bland. Right? And today, we're going to hear that salvation is not just an act that you can just perform, but salvation is a process. It's a comprehensive event in the life of a person. Now, the reason why I begin with something like that is because I want to focus on the gospel reading today. And I'm saying that this gospel reading is not just an isolated event, an act in the life of Jesus. It's not. But this healing of the man who's born deaf and mute really represents not just his healing, but his salvation. And it represents not the healing of that man and his salvation, but our salvation. There are two reasons I say that. First, because today's gospel reading is a direct fulfillment of the first reading from Isaiah. Look what the prophet Isaiah has to say. He says, "Be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication." Mark looks at Jesus and he says, "That's it. This is the man. This is God who is fulfilling what Isaiah said thousands of years back." And then Isaiah continues. He says, "Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then the lame will leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing." That's exactly what happens in today's gospel reading. So we see that this is not just an isolated event or act in the life of Jesus, but Jesus is fulfilling the salvific prophecy of Isaiah. The second reason why I'm saying that this healing is not just an event, an act, but a comprehensive event is because look how many hoops Jesus has to jump before healing takes place. First, he takes the man and he takes him aside by himself. Then, he puts his finger in the man's ears. And then he spits. Now, I don't know where he spits, and I don't know why he does that. Maybe he spat on the ground or spat into his hand. I don't know. But he spits and then touches the deaf and mute man's tongue. And then he looks up to heaven and he groans. And then he says, "Be open." How many verbs there? And I'm suggesting that this healing, because of all these actions, is really much more than what we think it to be, an isolated act of healing. Now, What I want to do this morning is to divide Jesus' actions into three different categories, and then we'll see how this affects our salvation. And then I also draw the practical implications from these three. So first, the first action of Jesus, he takes the man aside by himself. Now, really speaking, this would have been a great opportunity for Jesus to exhibit his power. Imagine somebody came to me who would be deaf and mute, and I would say, now start talking. Do we need anything else to fill this church up? No. But Jesus, instead of going for the dramatic act, he takes him aside. Because right from Scripture, right from the beginning of Scripture, one of the first things that God does to people in saving them is to draw them close to himself. The book of Exodus, after the whole Exodus event, the crossing of the Red Sea, where do they go? Into the desert. And there, alone with God, the people of Israel will learn to know God. They will learn God's will. They will learn to depend on God. They will learn to obey God. They will learn to be faithful to God. They will learn to love God. The most telling passage is in the book of Hosea, where Israel, even though Israel is sinful, the prophet Hosea says to the people, I will allure you into the desert and speak tenderly to you. So the same action, Jesus takes this man and pulls him aside, and I don't know what he says, but probably speaks tenderly to this guy who can't hear. I'm suggesting that that's the first act of God's saving work in the world. And this week, I'm suggesting to you, many times during the week, pull yourselves away from the crowd. See if you can find time to be alone with God. And when you're alone with God, let God speak to you tenderly. Let God love you. You love God. You speak to God. Let there be closeness between God and you. And then there's a second act, really intriguing. Because Jesus then puts his finger in the man's ears. Now, in public, if I did that in my own ears, you would say, where does he come from? Now imagine me putting ears in somebody, my hands in someone else's ears. That's even worse, isn't it? I mean, those are boundaries that we would not cross, right? And then Jesus, spitting, touches his tongue. Now, we find that gross. Why would Jesus take his own spit, right? And if I did that, you would find that odd. And then he touches someone else's tongue. He's exchanging spit. Now, we find that gross except in certain circumstances. Married people, in their sexual intimacy, they kiss and they exchange spit. And that's okay, isn't it? It makes sense when the context is different. God does not just want us to be close. God wants us to be intimate with God. In the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve are created and God breathes into their nostrils. And if I breathe into your nostrils, you would knock me out. But that doesn't happen in marriage. In intimacy, husband and wife, they share breath, and that's okay. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, she said, and he said, the Holy Spirit will come inside you. Becomes part of the intimate life, the most innermost being of Mary. The Spirit comes into her. Word became flesh. That is the history of salvation. And then when Christ, when he's about to die, he comes to the Last Supper and he breaks bread and he gives the cup and he said, "Eat me." We don't eat one another. But Christ wants to be part of us, inside us, intimate with us. And salvation happens not just by closeness, but by our intimacy with God. Today we are here at this Eucharist, and very soon we have the opportunity to do exactly that, to take God and make God part of our lives. In fact, not just the Eucharist, every sacrament is a point of intimacy with God. And so this week, don't just become close to God, become intimate with God. See what you, how, the opportunities that you can get for the sacrament of reconciliation or the Eucharist, whatever helps you to become intimate with God. The third action of Jesus is that Jesus looks towards heaven and he groans. Now I try to read many commentaries, and why did Jesus groan when he's trying to heal this person? And I really didn't find any satisfying answers. But there are many other times in the scripture where you find that Jesus has been moved very deeply in his being. So for example, he's at the tomb of Lazarus and Jesus weeps. He looks towards heaven and he cries out to his Father. On the cross, Jesus groans. He cries out in a loud voice and he says, my God, why have you forsaken?" In today's gospel reading, he groans. And I think Jesus groaned because in that one single moment, he could see both heaven and earth. He looks towards heaven and he sees our destiny. He sees what is in store for us. And then he looks at the man and he sees what sin has done to humankind. And he's moved in his being. It hurts him to see what sin has done to humanity. And he knows he would have to take the burden upon himself, the burden of sin. So he groans. From the cross, he cries because he feels the effect of sin. And he feels that upon himself. So Jesus, knowing what the Father has store for us, and yet knowing what stops us from embracing the life of God, he groans from his innermost being, hoping that all of salvation can be open to God's power inside them. So I'm going to conclude by the last act of Jesus. Jesus says, "Be opened." Not just to the man, but to all of humanity. Jesus is saying, "Be opened to the power of God in the world." And Jesus himself is that power. Here is your God who comes to save you. And so salvation happens not as an act, not like fast food, not like a 45-minute event, but as a comprehensive event in the life of that man, in the life of all of humanity. So we want to be saved. We want to be one day share the life of God. One day we want to be one with God. And how? Not with fast food type salvation, but by taking our lives seriously, living close to God, living intimately with God, allowing God also, groaning with God against sin, and bringing God's life to people. That's our call this week. Let ourselves be opened by God, and please go. Take the salvation wherever you go. May our Eucharist prepare ourselves not just for healing, but for salvation. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Say it like the Baptists do that.
Amen.
Thank you.